The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Oh, what great news. I'm on tour right now. Ridgefield, Connecticut, May the 30th. Kingston, New York. I'm also coming to Utah, Salt Lake City. So if you like Ryan Hamilton, I mean, what a match, right? Cleveland, Ohio. London with Jim Florentine. Manchester, Birmingham with Florentine. Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto. Vegas, Dallas, Fort Worth, Fargo, Bakersfield, San Diego, Rochester, Denver, Bend, Oregon, Huntington, Newton, New Jersey, Bangor, Maine, the Foxwoods in Connecticut, Boston, Massachusetts, and also I'm coming down to Maryland to do Magoobies, jimnorton.com/tour. It's a brand new hour of material, and it's been going swimmingly.
Jim Norton can save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can help you solve your own problems. Jim is an idiot.
Welcome to another episode of Jim Norton Can't Save You. Now, people on Instagram are wondering, how come the feed cuts off? We're just doing this live. Ryan Hamilton, a good friend and my guest today. Just wanted you to know we're actually taking calls. 720-820-1337. And Ryan, what I've been doing is, I've said this to Joe List, I'm very lazy, so I've been having ChatGPT write intros for people.
Oh, that's interesting. I can't imagine.
It's a little harsh, so bear with me. This is a very rough stuff. So, Ryan Hamilton is the human embodiment of a Hallmark card, wholesome, charming, and surprisingly funny. Hailing from Idaho, he's proof that you can grow up surrounded by potatoes and still come out sweet and smooth. Oof. Known for his megawatt smile and hilariously clean comedy, Ryan's been described as a breath of fresh air, which makes sense because his jokes are so pure they could power an air purifier.
Wow.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, is that not, wow. And here's one roast joke. I said, can we roast Ryan Hamilton? And again,
cool.
This is where it gets a little ugly.
Yeah.
Ryan's comedy is so clean, it makes a bar of soap feel like it's trying too hard to be edgy. ChatGPT, folks. Wave of the future. And wow, isn't it bad?
I feel burned.
I apologize to bring you on. I didn't mean to come in so hot.
Ooh.
I'm so happy you are here, man. Thank you for doing this.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And we do have a couple of callers on. What we do is we try the best we can to give advice. How qualified are we? I don't know.
Oh, I'm not. But
you ever been in therapy?
I've been in therapy. I don't think that makes me qualified to be a therapist.
That's where you and I differ. I'm like, I've been to therapy. I'm fucked up. Call in. Yes. All right. Let's go to the first caller. You're on with Ryan Hamilton and myself.
So my question is, how do I get women to notice me? I'm ugly as shit.
How do you get women to notice you? Oh. You're ugly as shit. Stand up is what I did.
I'm ugly as shit.
What makes you so ugly? I'm sure you're right. I mean, you sound homely, but what makes you ugly?
I got the face of like a 12-year-old boy with a scruffy beard just slapped onto it. It looks fake. It looks taped on there.
Oh, you're just an odd-looking guy. Well, let me ask you this.
I'm a very odd-looking guy.
Now, Ryan,
I'm skinny. I'm like a toothpick.
Ryan, you're a handsome guy, but is it dating easy for you, or do you have to kind of go out of your way? Are you a personality, like when they get to know you, then they like you?
Yeah, I think it's more the second thing. Yeah.
It's never like guy's hot.
No one's ever seen me across the room and been like, that's the guy.
I have to do it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so use your personality. Like comedians do. That's why we're comics.
Yes, that's the reason we do do this.
To get attention and to get people to like us?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that's what I would suggest, sir. Use your personality, unless you're totally deformed, in which case there's really not a lot you're going to do.
Can you make me more like you? You have a great personality.
Oh, aren't you as sweet as pie? Now, do you mean me or Ryan? Because Ryan is a guy who is a ferociously funny comic, but clean.
No, Ryan has gotten the smart. I want to be like you. I want to end up in Spider-Man.
You want to end up in Spider-Man? All right, I would say this. Take no acting lessons. talk strictly about prostitutes at least four presidential administrations. Cheat on every woman. And I would say then you'll wind up like me, just kind of alone and unhappy and in a marriage that you're not sure if it's going to last. I've used my personality. Again, Ryan Comics, that's what we do. We use what we have, which is our personality and our sense of humor. So you obviously have a sense of humor. You're a little self-deprecating. Go with that.
Yeah, you got to lean into that, I think.
Yeah.
You're being pretty charming here on the phone. You insulted me a little bit.
That wasn't really nice. I didn't like that either.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a little, you came in hot on Ryan. So I think you are the great Ryan Hamilton, an apology.
I'm sorry, Ryan.
That's all right. Yeah. That's all right.
Ryan's a sweet guy. All right. Thank you for the call. Good luck. And good luck to anybody who has to look at you. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, you get weird shit like that, right?
Yeah, it's good.
What did you want to do before stand-up? Before I get to the next caller, hang in there. We're going to get to you.
I studied public relations, and I worked at an ad agency. But I really wanted to be a journalist, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I studied journalism. I did that through high school. I used to have a column in the newspaper.
You did?
Like a humor column.
What did you write about real things humorously, or just... Tell jokes.
Yeah, just about what was going on in my life. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I tried. I really wanted to do that. Yeah.
I know you for decades. I mean, maybe close to 15 years.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what you... It's funny, I see you almost every night. I have no idea what you wanted to do when you were...
Yeah, I know. We all come from these different places, and then we're just comedians, because that's the thing that unites us all, right?
Yeah.
We are all connected that way. But yeah, I mean, I've been doing this 20 plus years, so it's been a long time.
What's the name of your special that's on, the one that you have on?
Happy Face.
Happy Face. It's really, really funny. Who's the next caller? Okay, you're unmuted. Go. You're on with Ryan Hamilton and Jim.
Hey, Jim, it's the autistic comedian from last week. How are you?
Hello, autistic comedian. How are you? That makes three of us.
Thank you for your words of wisdom, homie. I made it to Whitney's show in Austin, man. This place is amazing. I love it. Thank you so much for your encouragement, man. This is great.
Oh, the mothership?
And Ryan, I'm also a journalist. Yes, sir, man. It's great.
Great.
Wow.
It was amazing. Everything went perfect. I can't thank you enough for the encouragement. And Whitney was amazing. And the special guests were way better than what anybody could have expected. I think I'm going to do my first stand-up open mic. If I can find one tonight, I think I should be able to pull one off, maybe.
Good for you.
Go for it, bro.
Good, man. I appreciate that. And Ryan, you're a fan of Ryan as well, you were saying.
Ryan, I was going to say that I'm a journalist too, so if he has any questions, I was a professional journalist at one point.
Wow.
If he has any questions...
That would be funny.
Anything,
well, that's very humble of you. Ryan, I see that. Is there anything you'd like to ask me before I wrap this up? No, Ryan was a journalist in college. Now he's a very successful. He does arenas. Ryan does arenas in certain places.
Certain places.
Well, that's fine. I do arenas in certain places, too. I had nothing funny to say. I'm lying, of course. But, you know, as a comic, you're going to improv something.
Where?
Yeah,
where?
Nothing. No, because the line I was going to say is, I won't even say it's embarrassing. I was going to say something about just imagining it, but it's too corny to say it. So I would rather just bail and be honest and go, I've hit a brick wall.
It's okay.
Yeah. I deserved it. But I appreciate you calling back and updating us. Thanks. Thanks a lot, buddy.
I'll be there, Jim.
All right. Godspeed. Yes, if anybody else has any advice you'd like to give Ryan, that was really funny.
Sure.
Anything else Ryan would like to ask about journalism? No.
He's just trying to connect. You
I know. I didn't like it.
You didn't
No, he should be asking you for advice. You have a very together life.
Well, outwardly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to shoot again. I know that.
We're working on it. We're trying to get something together. Yes.
Good. You should shoot.
I mean, know. It's been too long.
How long ago was your last one?
Like 7 years. A long time ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's overdue. Right,
Jake. Hey, Jake. What's up?
Hey, how are you?
What's going on? Oh, this is just your name. Well, thank you for calling in and giving your name. It's very professional. What's going on, Jake?
I don't know nothing. I just saw your name show up on my phone and the phone number, so I wanted to call in and see what it was all about.
You know, we do get some of those. You're on with myself and Ryan Hamilton, and I'm doing an advice show podcast, which you are now on. So what's going on in your life that you feel like you might need a little help with, or you can offer us some assistance if you have any, because apparently people are calling in thinking Ryan's here as a fucking charity case needing journalistic advice.
I don't know. I'm doing all right now. I don't really...
Sounds like you're doing great, yeah.
Maybe I can give you some advice. What do you have?
Wow, this show's really turned around.
It really has. I need advice. How do I get people who know what's going on to focus and call my show as opposed to random guys who are on fucking edibles?
If you're just sitting there and you just saw a number
sorry,
pop.
I wasn't much help.
It's okay. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much, Jake. You did good because you did give your name. So check out Ryan's special on Netflix.
I didn't. I just called the phone number, honestly.
His name
I don't
just
know
came
how
up.
You have my name.
Oh, the name came up. We'll block out your last name. Sorry. Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling the number. We didn't mean to say your name. I thought you gave it. All right. All right. Goodbye, nameless person.
All right.
Beep that out. People are like, who the fuck was that? Forget it. I thought he was a comic or something. Yeah. His name came up. I'm like, oh, we got a celebrity caller. All right. We got another call?
Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
We can, yes. Ryan, you good?
I got you.
Oh, okay. What's that?
You know, Ryan can hear you. I was confirming that my guest could hear, sir.
I'm sorry. My name is Ryan as well. Man, I got a little doozy for you.
Okay.
So just before Christmas Eve, I fell off my front porch step and I broke my ankle and my foot. It was deeper fractures.
Okay.
And so I missed a couple of days off work and I went back into work. I was actually a 911 call taker. And I went back to work on Christmas Eve.
Well, can I ask you a question? Can I jump in? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Now, you're a 911. Why do you need your foot? Do you take four calls at a time? I don't understand what role your feet play in 911.
I didn't even call 911. But
well, you know how bad they are.
It's just to keep off it, you know, just to keep off the foot and let it just, you know, chill at home for a couple of days. And then I figured I got my boots, so I was like, okay, I can go into work. But I got fired when I went into work on Christmas Eve.
Why?
And then on New Year's Eve, my relationship of 5 years just pretty much ended. So I still have a broken foot. I'm unemployed and single now.
So your question would be, how do you celebrate all this great news?
So what's your problem?
Yeah, exactly. You're going to get a better job and a fucking better partner.
It's more just like, what the fuck? Just what in the fuck? I'm still kind of in shock of it all. But yeah.
Did you love it? Like, were you happy, or all of a sudden you just what's going on? Like, was it a nightmare happening, or did she just leave you
because
you're
together? She's just always real, like real shitty towards me. She's always just like real snappy, real like hateful. Mm. And she was doing that on New Year's Eve, and I kind of just got into it, and I was like, hey, you're really shitty to me, and then she's like, I'm fucking leaving, this is done, and...
At least she handled it nicely.
Just kind of left it at that.
Okay, well, that's kind of... Yeah, all right, well, you got rid of a shitty girlfriend. Good for you.
Yeah, it sounds like you weren't real happy in this relationship.
Yeah, and it was her fault. Fuck her. Yeah, just yelling at you. Who wants to get yelled at on New Year's Eve? I mean, how unfun is that? Like, we're wrapping the year up. Let's start fresh.
It's terrible.
Have you ever been in a situation where somebody mistreated you? Have you ever dated anybody mistreated you, or have you been lucky?
Me?
Have you ever?
Oh,
like have you? I've been in a few of those, but I was typically the dick. Like not that bad, but like have you had anyone who was like you're like this?
No,
is, you
not just, no, not real. No, I don't think so. I've mostly it's just been I don't know. No, I haven't had a lot of long relationships, to be honest. So it's mostly just been kind of getting to know somebody, and then we get to a point where it's like, I don't know, we'll see, and
I'm
then it
done
just
with
kind
you.
Of fades.
It fades it, away. Yeah, yeah. All right, well, look, you're not even really asking a question. I would just say this. If you're happier without her, but she sounds awful, or he sounds awful, whoever it was, she sounds terrible just giving you shit.
No, she has her moments. I don't know what's going on.
Everyone has their moments.
Because she doesn't really communicate.
No, I know.
Like, so if something's bothering her, I'll never know what it is.
Everyone has moments. Hitler was nice to his dog, and he was a painter. Like, you know what I mean? Everyone has moments where they're like, yeah, that person's okay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that they're not, you know, as Mike would say, visionaries. No, it doesn't mean it doesn't mean that they're not fucking assholes, you know, just because they all have moments. Ted Bundy had nice moments.
Right. Do you think all these things that happened to you are related in some way, or is just random?
Yeah, it does. It does seem like it's a fucking witch's curse or some shit like that. I don't know, but it all happened week after week after week. Broke foot, got fired, lost girlfriend, and I'm like, what the fuck's next? You know.
Yeah.
Well, I think what Ryan was getting at, do you think you're the problem? I think that as opposed to a witch's curse, or do you think this is Salem's lot?
Yeah.
First of all, you're too fucking clumsy to walk down the steps. That makes people angry. And maybe at work, they're like, let's just get rid of this guy. And then your girlfriend's like, fuck you. Like, could it be you or no?
Guess it could be. I don't...
What happened at work?
I guess it is. So
we never got to...
Yeah, what happened at work? How did they just fire you for a sore tootsies?
Well, basically, I'm sorry, I had trouble hearing you. I missed the funny part.
Okay. What happened at work?
Basically, I was a brand new call taker. I was just fresh off of training, and they just said that the quality of my calls wasn't up to their standards of what the quality should be. They didn't really give me too much of an explanation other than. Because, it's a lot of protocols, it's a lot of policies, it's all kinds of stuff involved in being a 911 call taker, and I was fresh out of training, and they were just like, nah, and just told me to take a hike.
So basically what happened was, like, somebody called up, and they were like, oh my God, I think there's somebody breaking into my house, and you're like, you know, it's funny, they broke into my house, I fell down the stairs the other day, and I've been on disability for a couple of, you probably just started meandering to an area they didn't care about. I can see how that would happen. Look, here's what I would say.
That would have been good. If I was able to take a call during that time, I had a broken foot, but...
Yeah, that's okay. Look, here's the reality. It's a fresh time to start.
That's
you
what
get
I was
a new relationship
say.
And yeah. a new job, right? You need these things once in a while.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good opportunity to reflect and start fresh. We all have that. When it rains, it pours, and then you go, what do I want out of life?
Yeah, what do I want out of life? Maybe you don't want a partner who's nasty to you and a job that where you know they don't give you time to get good at it. I mean, you just went through training. Sure, you sound like you might take a long time to get the hang of something, but it's not the reality is you were willing to give it a shot.
That's right. A week isn't that long, really.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, thank you for the call. We appreciate your call. Hang in there, buddy. And I would just say look at it as a time for a fresh start, and it does happen. In The Godfather, right? There's this thing like where Clemenza says, do you ever see The Godfather?
Yeah.
Stupid. Why would I ask another adult male? If you were my 14-year-old niece, I could say that, but you're a fucking an adult male comic. I'm like, you ever see? Stupid. But where Clemenza goes, these things happen every 10 years. Cleans it, gets rid of all the bad blood. About the family war.
Right.
That's how it is in life. Sometimes these things happen that just cleans it out.
Yeah.
And then you start fresh.
It's hard to see it in the moment, but you might see it.
Yeah.
Later.
Yes. Or you might not. You might just continue to be a broken-footed, non-working idiot who's now an incel. All right. Good luck to you, my friend. Thank you for the call. All right. Next call, you are on with Ryan Hamilton and Jim Norton.
My name's Poodle Riffic. I'm a big fan of your live event with Nikki.
Oh, Poodle Riffic, I remember you. Hi.
I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
So I've been listening to the Telepathy Tape, which is a podcast, and it's kind of proved that telepathy is real.
Hold on. Hold on. Well, we have to cut you. Can you move away from your phone? The audio is very muddy, and I want to be able to hear you. You're saying that you've been listening to these telepathy tapes proving telepathy is real. I want to get the audio right so we can actually hear what you're saying. So if you can, maybe move the phone from your mouth or something a little bit.
Oh, ghost bed. Sleep so good, it's scary. Not in the old paranormal way. Talking about lying in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're wide awake, you're thinking about something humiliating you did in 2006, which for me would be something humiliating I did from 1973 till yesterday. My whole life has been one long act of humiliation, which makes sleeping difficult. If you've ever replayed your own cringe on a loop, one more time, sorry, Mike. If you've ever replayed your own cringe reel on a loop while sweating through your sheets, welcome to my life. Last night I drove home. I was in Washington, D.C., and I came home, and I was laying there, and I was unable to sleep. And you know why I was able to sleep? This is true. I have two pillows. One is a ghost pillow, and it is the most comfortable pillow I ever owned. It's firm, but it has a little bit of give, and I put a thin pillow on top. Fat!
I was right out. I slept beautifully. Thank you to my ghost pillow. Or is it a ghost bed pillow? I don't know what they call it. All I know is it helped me fall asleep two nights ago. The Memorial Day sale is going on. It's the biggest sale of the year. If you're listening to this dumb show, you're going to get an extra 10% off on top of it. Because if anyone needs help sleeping, it's probably you and also me. They're a family-owned business. Nobody cares about that. Sorry, Ghostbed. All we care about is, do we sleep better with your product? Yes, we do. Or I do. Comfort, Signature, and Luxe are the three models. You can pick hybrid. You can pick foam. Choose between medium or medium firm. Every mattress has their own ProCore support layer. Gives you ergonomic zone comfort to keep your spine aligned, even if the rest of your life is in the toilet, as mine is. Here's what you got to do. Go to ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the code Norton to get 10% off your order on top of the Memorial Day sale. Memorial Day sale plus 10% off using the code Norton. Look at their mattresses. Look at their pillows. Look at the other stuff they have. Man, I don't need a mattress. Then get a pillow. It helped me fall asleep, and it will help you too. Ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton, because no, I cannot save you, nor do I wish to, but I can tell you how to sleep better. Well, 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 our old friends at Blue Chew are back for another hard read. Do you like that? People have been complaining my reads are too long. Sorry, I like Blue Chew tablets. I can't help it. When I get to talk about my, even little Taffmeister, sometimes we'll give him one and say, go ahead, run around with a heart on you, goose. And he humps all my neighbors. Hey, come on now, get that out of my eye. But the Blue Chew tablet has changed my life. I truly love them. You know what they are. They help you dick. They help you dick work a lot better. You can be ready when she needs it. There's nothing worse than only being ready when I need it, like on a crowded elevator. I'm always ready then, but then a woman's like, come on, let's go. And my dick is like, the hope. And it just kind of shyly hides under my balls. Not with a Blue Chew. It's not going to stop until every man is bricked up like a brick house. They just won't stop saying that. And I'll keep reading it if they want. That is the mission. Everyone can use an extra hand. With Blue Chew, you get an extra leg. I guess the third one. More horsepower. You guys get it. Enough said. Make life easier by getting harder. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. There's a special deal for our listeners. Try your first month of Blue Chew for free. When you use the promo code Norton, you add $5 for shipping. Everyone has $5. If it makes your penis better, spend $5, you chiseler. Taffmeister loves it, don't you, Taffy? That's promo code Norton. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we do thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA. They are prepared and shipped directly to your door. And it's all done online. You sign up at BlueChew.com. You consult with one of their licensed medical providers. Once you're approved, get your prescription within days. Blue Chew, help your rotten dick. Yes, that's a little bit better, Poolerific. So talk us about telepathy. But then again, we should know what you're saying already before you say it. Okay, what were you saying?
So if telepathy is real, and I kind of feel like, are these drones actually UFOs? Like, are we going on to a new level of consciousness as humans if telepathy and UFOs are real?
I don't know. Well, Ryan, where do you stand on this stuff? There's been a lot of drones in New Jersey. Do you believe in telepathy, UFOs, or do you skeptical that stuff? No, I'm asking Ryan. Yeah.
Oh, I think they're two totally different topics.
Yes.
To be honest, to relate them, I feel like is hard. I do believe that probably there's life out there somewhere, and so UFOs aren't out of the realm of possibility. Telepathy, I've never had any experience with that, really. I don't know.
No, I don't either. Because everyone thinks that they have it, but people like will attribute coincidence to this ability to see things. I'm not going to mention any names, my wife and my ex. Both think that my wife thinks she's a fucking oracle. And I'm like, you're not an oracle.
Oh.
We were on a podcast one time, and I said, she goes, I can look at somebody and know exactly what when they're driving by, I could tell you what they have in their refrigerator when they're driving by.
Really?
So I'm like, really? And we had a guest on. I'm like, tell them what they have in their fridge. And she just couldn't get it. It was so funny. I debunked my own wife in front of a fucking guest comedian. I was so furious at her for that shit statement. So yeah, you've had are you big on like any of that stuff? Do you believe any of it, or are you kind of more grounded?
I guess I would say I'm more grounded if I had to go one side or the other on telepathy. But I do believe that there could be UFOs out there somewhere. I don't know if the drones in New Jersey are.
No, I don't think so. I think they're just drones.
Yeah, I think there's something else.
There's some sort of a government program.
Yeah.
Now, Poodlerific, what are you thinking about the drones and the UFOs? Are you saying you think it proves something?
What if our levels of like consciousness and perception are changing? Like, what it's going to be like if in 2025 telepathy is real and we have contact with UFOs? And I guess that's what I was sort of having an existential crisis about.
Well, it would be a great year if that stuff happened. I mean, if all of a sudden telepathy was real and there's UFOs, I mean, which do I celebrate first? I'd be happy with one of those things.
Yeah.
You know, considering that I've seen proof of neither of them, I'd be very happy with one of them. Look, my suggestion would be this. The existential crisis, you don't need to have a crisis about this stuff that you can't control. Why don't you just let it unfold and don't have a built-in answer for it? Just let it unfold and see what happens. You don't need to have a crisis because it's not in your control and you don't need to fix it.
Yeah, that sounds like good advice.
Thank you. That was beautiful advice.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Ryan, what do you think?
I think I agree with that. Yeah. And sometimes I get worried about things that I don't have any control over, and then I start to worry about it and I go in this spiral. But to control the things that you have control over seems like a good way to find peace in life. That's
isn't it funny too, like the job you take, I'm turning off that thing, the job you take is something there's so little control we have, and so much of it, and you're a control person, and then you take this job and it's like, I can't control a fucking thing. That's like, you can never control their reaction.
No, you can't. But you can say, I'm gonna write every day and create stuff that I like every day, and that's what I can do.
Do you like writing? Like, do you like, are you like, I know you know Seinfeld very well. He'll sit down, like he's a regimented guy, like Stephen King almost. He'll sit down and make himself write.
Yeah. I'm not quite like that, but when I do it, I find that it pays off.
It does.
Yeah.
What do you do to shake through when you got nothing? Because when I shake through, I just get frustrated when I can't break through.
I don't know. I keep just notes, and I just have years of notes, and I just go back through them and I go, well, that was an interesting idea that I couldn't get anywhere like 3 years ago. Let's try and rehash that again. And then it sparks something, and then I go somewhere else.
Right.
You know, just having a starting point. That's all you need. It's like some place to start. Even if, you know, if you just do it, the job is to do it every day, even if you don't get anything out of it, you know, just to have fun with it. And if you do that every day, then you did your job.
But I would do something like, with me, what would be sparked was I'd go back and I'd find a topical thing, and then all of a sudden you'd see me at the cella going, all right, so Monica Lewinsky. I couldn't do anything with this in 93, but man, have I grown. All right. Yes, caller, you're on, but you're absolutely right. Like, you just gotta, going back through the old notes feels good.
Yeah.
But you're like, wow, that was a really funny thought that I had nothing to, I couldn't go anywhere with.
Right,
it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hello. Oh, someone just said, ooh, you're on the radio, or you're on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. I just heard a cue to talk.
Oh, how you doing?
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Jim.
Hey, what's up? What's your name?
Good afternoon. Uriel.
Hi.
Like Ariel, over to you.
Okay, cool. Or like Muriel with no M. Hi, how are you? That's a little more masculine.
There you go.
welcome. Like urine with an E-L instead of an I-N-E. Okay.
Oh, God. Not even that. Don't do that.
What's up, buddy?
Just wanted to call and say, you know, good afternoon, happy New Year's. I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, what kind of advice would I want? The only thing that comes to mind really is about like therapy, because I know with comedians, you know, God, you guys do need therapy most of the time, you know, and half of it is what you guys do on stage, you know, like that's a form of self-therapy in itself. But I mean, I guess it comes into sort of a paradox. If you need therapy, if you think you need therapy, then you might. And I want to see, was it beneficial to you guys, if you ever did do it, like really helpful in a personal life, or just to kind of help ground you down?
Ryan, what do you think? It's a good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. I didn't do it for a long, long time. And then I had a friend who approached me and was like, you know, I would just talk to her a lot about my problems. And she said, will you just try this once? And I go, I don't know if I want to do it. And she sent me the number of her therapist, or an older therapist that she had before. And she said, just do it for me. Will you do it once for me? And I said, okay. And then I started to do it, and I kept doing it for like a month or two just to experiment. And I found that what it helped me with is having someone to be accountable for, like, yep, with those kind of issues, like not like some like a workout buddy that you go, I'm going to go work out with, but someone that you're like working on those deep issues that we all have, and every week going, mm-hmm, I'm still working on this, but this is what happened, and I had this kind of little thing, and I made this choice, and it helps you see your progress.
It's like a trainer almost.
Yeah.
Like instead of a workout buddy, it's like a trainer, someone who's kind of guiding you, and like they're not worried about themselves. They're just watching you and what you do from week to week, and they know if you do something stupid that you mentioned last week and they catch you doing it stupid this week, they'll tell you.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's helpful. Yeah. It really
like
is. People knock it.
Kind of opinion.
Yes.
It would be funny too. Yes, an unbiased, a person who doesn't care about you, because your friend cares about you.
Right.
Even though it sounds like she was trying to push you off on a therapist. It's like, would you please just call anyone? But but she obviously cares about you. So her point of view to me is not as good as an unbiased one of a guy who's just listening.
Yeah.
And is like, this is what I see at face value.
Right.
Take it or leave it.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be funny if she started calling you and like telling you like things that you had said in therapy, and then you realize the therapist was just calling her and telling her, talk to him about this. He's really beginning to bug me. And she's like, don't mention the whole fucking traveling thing. He really hates that. He gets jealous. Because he's stuck in that one little chair.
I will say this.
Yes.
What's up?
I did go to therapy for some months back before the pandemic.
Oh.
But when it hit, I lost contact with my therapist. And
sure.
When everything started to open up again, she changed the department. So I was like, well, I liked her. I don't want to have to go looking for someone else again, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I've been thinking about it for a while. If I should just talk to someone like that, or just...
You can't find your old therapist?
You know, work through it.
Yeah, why can't
you? I mean,
you?
I could try to find the information. Yeah. She moved to a different city, I think, for work.
So, I did it by phone for a long time. My therapist moved too, and I just did it by phone for a while.
FaceTime, phone call, yeah, of course, Zoom.
Yeah, you can do that. Whatever's the easiest is what you should do.
So you're acting like it's 1977. You could just pick up a phone and call him or Zoom in. I have to write her a long letter. I'm playing a chess with a man in another state where you send each other the moves by mail. It's fucking 1830. Yeah, just...
Well, I know you guys got BetterHelp sponsors sometimes, you know, on some podcasts. So that's always an option right there, too, I thought about.
BetterHelp.
Mobile therapy kind of thing.
BetterHelp has like been this podcast kind of staple. But to me, the best quality about BetterHelp, and they're not a sponsor of this program, I'm just saying I've dealt with them before, is they literally will let you change therapists, and it's pretty easy to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's really important because you don't feel like you're trapped with somebody.
Yeah, that's good.
You're like, wow, I could actually just switch to another person and see how that goes. So that's why BetterHelp is great. So if you hear any them being sponsored on a podcast or whatever, try them, because I've heard people have a lot of success with those guys.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Definitely.
All right. Good luck, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you for the call, answering the call and everything. Okay. Have a good day.
All right. Take care, you too. Yes, we have more callers. Why don't you give us a little jingle? What do you got? What do we do if I start talking like sexy? What do you got? What's going on with you? Because Ryan has a very deep, good radio voice.
Do I?
Yes, you do.
Oh, really?
You have a good soothing voice on radio.
Oh,
easy
that's
to listen
good.
To.
Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah, I don't.
Thank you.
Yeah, my voice has been called a tinny shitbox. Okay. Hello, you're on.
Richard, you're on.
Hey, is it me?
It is Richard. How are you, sir?
Hey. Hey, Jim.
What's up?
So the advice that I need, quick
quickly, just I'll try to make this short. I was in a 4-year relationship, and I started going to get massages, the erotic kind. Oh, yeah. And needless to say, she found out. We broke up, and it was roughly about a year ago. I've been going to therapy every other week, and I haven't been back since. But my question is, moving forward in a future relationship, I keep going back and forth on whether or not I should tell the new person what I did, because like on one hand, you know, like I want to be honest and practice honesty and just like lay it all out there. But on the other hand, like I feel like trust will never really be there for me. And like anytime it would come up in conversation or like on a show or a movie or whatever, like it'll just be like awkward. I'm not sure what to do. Like on one hand, I want to be honest all the way around, but on the other hand, like, I guess it's really nobody's business. I don't know. I wanted to know what you thought.
Personally, I don't think, especially if you're remedying the problem. Like with me, the difference was I would be in a relationship and I'd be like, should I tell her I'm still having unprotected sex with prostitutes? Probably not. And I wouldn't. That to me was very deceptive and dangerous. What you're doing is you don't owe her that explanation. If she asked you and said, hey, have you ever done this? Maybe then you might, in the spirit of honesty, tell her. And then tell her, like, hey, yeah, but it became an issue and I'm doing something. I don't think you owe somebody your past if it's not affecting your relationship with them now, right?
Yeah, I guess I would. It's all, you know, every incident, every thing, every kind of relationship is different. I would say, though, yeah, if it's, you know, build on trust. For now and for always.
Yeah, for now.
But I mean, I don't think you have to tell everybody everything about you all the time. I mean, I...
Oversharing, you mean.
Yeah, because I've had... I've had people in relationships tell me, you tell me too much. Like, in a spirit of, like, trying to... And I do it for me more than for the other person so that I feel relief.
Right, right, right.
And I go overboard. And it's kind of like people go, you don't need to tell me everything all the time, you know?
Now, are they things in the present you're thinking or things in the past that you're like, they should know this?
Both, I guess. It's just kind of like I'll have this anxiety about it. Like it feels like you're kind of experiencing some anxiety about this. And then in order to relieve the anxiety, I will try to say everything. And then it's kind of like, well, I didn't need to hear everything, detail about all of this.
Do you feel like you're lying if you're not saying everything? There's times where I've confessed things or just said things that aren't even confessions because I feel like I'm lying if I don't get it out in the open, like a lie of omission.
Right. I think if you're doing it for them, it's positive. If you're doing it for your own benefit, then it's different. It's hard to analyze that.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you're doing it for her, that's a good point. If you're doing it for her, telling her about these massages, but if you're doing it, as they say, to unburden yourself and make your own cross lighter, you don't really need to because it can only affect it negatively. Let it come out organically if it's going to come out.
Okay, so don't just be like upfront with it. That's exactly where I'm at. Is like I feel anxious if I don't just like lay it all out. Like I'm waiting for the shoe to drop, but don't do it.
Yeah, you don't need to. It's not a terrible thing. You get a few happy ending massages. It happens. I mean, like, whatever. We're all sexual beings. Just and also when not telling her, make sure she knows that nothing in her past bothers you. This way you've established that our past is our past. Like, don't start scolding her for shit she did and then, you know, unload fucking, you know, 5 years of, you know, jizzing in massage parlors on her and expect her to accept it. You understand what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Good luck, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
Godspeed. yes. Well, we have more callers. Why don't you call in? The name of the show should be Jim Norton Saves Your Life, Guaranteed. That's right.
Or your money back.
Or your money back. And then what we'll do is we'll have a noose count on how many people actually didn't actually work out for it.
You mean?
Hey, what's up? What's your name?
Peyton.
Peyton, what's up, buddy? You're on with myself and Ryan Hamilton.
Not much, man. I just, you know, see an opportunity to call you. I've been a fan for a long time, you know.
Well, thank you. That's a nice slow, just have a nice little chat. Right, I appreciate that, Peyton. Where are you calling from, Peyton?
No,
kick your feet up and tell us.
I was just wondering, like, what city was your favorite to perform stand-up in? Like, what city was the best for you.
Here's the this is the funny part too. Like the difference between Ryan and I's career, aside from the fact that if did I mention he does in certain places arenas, like where they play basketball. Like when I'm playing basketball tomorrow, why Ryan's doing comedy? I've never had that. We're not holding junior fucking floor hockey here tomorrow because Jim Norton has a half a room to curtain off. For me, it would be Boston is my favorite place, and I love so many East Coast places. But for you, I'm assuming it's not that.
I like Boston. I like a lot of cities. But where I do well is out west. I do well in Salt Lake City, Denver, Seattle, Portland.
You do see, Seattle and Portland have never been amazing for me. Those are great
really?
For you?
Yeah, those are good ones for me. Yeah.
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 Is there any that you're terrible in? For me, Miami. I only did it once, but it was just not my demo. Like, that's like right. A Gabriel Iglesias does really well there. I just, you know, I'm thinking he does well everywhere. But yeah. I didn't do particularly well.
It's weird. I'm terrible a lot of places, to be honest.
Where's a bad one for you? Like, I wish more people would come see me.
What's a bad one? I'm trying to think.
Do you do well in Texas?
You know, I do. I just did Dallas, and that was good. But Houston is not good. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had mixed reviews. Not the shows are good, but I mean, like, the fact that I wish more people
came
out.
Yeah, I can't get people there. Austin is okay. Dallas was great. It's weird. It's like so random.
It is random.
It's like who knows?
No, that's not what I meant at all.
Oh.
Oh, what did you mean,
sir?
That's not what I meant at all. What did you? Actually, Ryan and I were just chatting.
Forgot you were here.
I did too. I didn't mean to have a nice moment with my friend. Back to you, Hitler. Sorry, we didn't mean to fucking chat. You know, Goebbels and fucking whoever else was in his regime. I should read more history books. I ran out of steam at Goebbels. Himmler and Goebbels, too late. Himmler, yeah. All right, what's going on? What were you saying? I apologize.
Well, if you let me finish for a second.
You're absolutely right, sir.
I'll be able to tell you.
Favorite city, you were asking. Yes.
This is how our conversation should go.
Please, let me know.
You were saying Austin. I live in Minnesota, and I'd like to move to Texas one day. It's just so hard to switch cities. Not knowing what's going down there, you know.
Well, I mean, especially from Mini to Texas. I mean, leave the winter coats at home.
Yeah. My allergies, my sinuses.
This is not interesting. I'm sorry. Look, I tried to hang in there. When you said I wanted to go to Minneapolis, to Austin, I was hoping you'd drop dead. But you kept talking. You went into the allergies thing. God damn you. Embarrassing me in front of Ryan. My friend here, he's over at my house. Got fucking Ryan in my house. We're hanging out, meeting callers. And you're like, you know, there's so many moving companies. How many rest stops? Do they charge you by the hour? All right. Thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Have a good one, man.
All right, brother. Be good. All right, we got more, yeah. You're unmuted. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's your name? I like that little, that's a tentative, sexy little hello. Yeah, hey. Nervous around a couple of alphas. No need. I understand.
My name's Bailey, and I've been a fan since I was in high school. And funny enough, the first special I watched of yours, my dad was in the room, and you were making a joke about fucking trees. And,
Are you sure that just wasn't my biography? Oh, sorry. Well, thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's going on?
I guess I just wanted to get some advice.
Sure, about what? And I'm here with Ryan Hamilton. By the way, Ryan and I lead very different lives. Oh, we've led very different lives. So it depends on the advice you want. Because either one of us we have different experiences and different living different lives.
True.
So we both have something to offer.
Well, that's what I look forward to hearing about. I'm 25, and I married my husband a couple years ago, and there's a big age gap between us, and I guess
good.
I just want to know, since y'all have been married, what can I do to kind of keep interest in the relationship? Because I want to make sure that when we grow old together, I'm still going to want to be around him and everything, even though I know we have a big age gap, and I love him now, but I don't know how I'm going to feel like 10, 15 years, and we have a kid together, and she's only 9 months old, and I love them both dearly, but if you guys have any advice on long-lasting marriages.
100%. First of all, we're not married. I mean, we're friends. We do stand up together. I mean, I get it, and it's nice. I mean, I know our chemistry is amazing, but we really are just friends. We fist bump.
Right, yeah, that's true.
Question is, how much older? Because my wife is a lot younger than me, and it's a good question. How old are you? You're 25. How old is he?
He'll be 43 this year.
All right, so 18 years. How do you stay interested? I see, I don't know him or what makes you interested in him to begin with. That's hard to say. If it's a personality thing that keeps you locked in, if you like the way you have sex with him, or you like how he talks to you, or that's something that will continue. What are you losing interest in? Because you must be losing slight bit of interest for you to wonder that.
I think it's how we both spend maybe like our free time together. Because there are some common grounds. We both like to play video games, but not the same games together. Ah. But I guess also just our hobbies and interests. Like when I learn about something new, I want to share it with him immediately and like just learn all about everything I can about it. And then I drop the subject and kind of move on to like get my fill of it. And he's kind of the opposite of that. So, but personality wise, no, it's the first time we got together was all these dad jokes he was making, and they were funny. And I still love them to this day. They're a little annoying, but I still love them.
He still does the dad jokes.
So he makes you laugh.
Yeah, like, yeah, he makes me laugh.
Or are they jokes, or is he saying it at weird times? Makes... Like when you're in the shower, is he coming in saying, "Daddy just got home from work"?
There's a couple of times where he's like, don't worry, Daddy's home. And I'm like, oh my goodness, okay then.
I like that. Good
but he
for
never
you.
Gets any further than that. So
he's kind of acknowledging the age difference is
yes.
What you're saying. And it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't bother him. And one of the things that he liked about me was that I had a lot of ambition when we first met. And I still do. It's just, you know, you have a kid, so you got to rearrange priorities. But, yeah.
Well, my wife will remind me of the age difference, which is why she's so hateable. She'll say things like, you're 27 years older, or like, Jim is going to die first. Like, she doesn't even mean to be, you know,
right.
Asperger's hits people differently. She'll always just say these things, like, but not joking, not trying to be funny, or not even trying to be mean. But we'll talk, and she'll be like, you know, I know Jim will die years before me, so like, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
So yeah, the age thing is, I'm not worried about how to keep her interested. If she loses interest, well, I save myself a lot of money in the long run. So I would say, just if it's a personality thing, your interest will grow. And if it's balanced out a little bit, I think that's kind of normal. Like,
yeah.
Where you're just like, ugh, it's them again.
Right. Yeah. I've never been married, but that's a hard question for me.
But relationships, you know, yeah. Like, does it take you a while to get sick of somebody, or are you a guy who like, do you just keep falling more in love every day, or do you hit a point where you're like, ugh?
No, well, I think I would be more on the former. I think I would just keep going into the relationship more. I think that's
where. You're a nice guy. You're a healthy guy.
Well, I try. I don't know. I'm working on it. We're all working on it, you know? And it does, I would say no matter how old he is, he's working too, probably, you know? I think that's a thing with age is that when I was young, I would have everything figured out. And what I realized is, you don't really change. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even watching my mom and stuff go through life, it's like we're all kind of in high school forever.
Yeah.
Does it feel like that to you guys? I mean, that's how I kind of feel. It's just like no matter what age you're at, we all have insecurities. We all have issues. And I thought I wouldn't be this way when I was young. And I pictured adults not having these things. But I do have them.
Yeah.
And all of my friends have them. So... you know.
Well, most of your friends. I'm not going to mention any names, but I can think of certain guys who fly private that probably don't have insecurities. But I guess they do. Every comic does.
Yeah, different. Maybe different than yours or mine.
Sure.
But yeah, they have something.
Or not financial insecurity, but like, hey, what are people saying about me? Do they respect my movie? Do they like my stand-up? Like, whatever it is, I guess everyone's
sure.
got that stuff.
We all have stuff, yeah.
So yeah, good luck to you. I would say if you want to keep interest... maybe talk to, if there's something he's doing that's making you lose interest, talk to him about it. This way it doesn't become something that where you hate his guts for it.
Yeah. I don't want to end up like my parents where it's just like they faked who they were, got married, had kids, and then they both woke up and are like, oh, we're entirely different people and we actually don't mesh well and let's get a divorce and now we have and all that jazz. And so
language.
Trying to not repeat that with my daughter. So, and I know, like, I know I want to be with him. Like, there's no doubt about that. So I'll talk about it with him. But thank you so much for the advice, guys.
All right. Well, I hope it works out for you. I mean, obviously, as you have a kid and you're married at 25. I didn't get married till I was in my 50s, and we're not having any kids. Do you want children?
I don't know. The older I get, the more I think. I always thought I would, but I guess it just depends on what relationship I fall into.
Yeah. Do you kind of like being, I kind of like the lack of responsibility. Like, we have a puppy who's now being trained for the week, but it's like whenever the dog shits, I'm like, thank God I don't have kids. Like, I love not having kids.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Sometimes I'm around. It's a lot.
It's
I mean, you got to really, it's your whole life, right?
It's a lot.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. That. Ryan and I, we're just a couple of swinging dicks running through life. JP. Hi, JP. How are you?
Hello.
You're on with...
Hey, how's it going?
I like this energy as opposed to the other heroin addicts that have been calling in, fucking nodding off. What's up, JP?
Dude, I was just about to pass out, but I'm back now.
Welcome.
Jim, you are a sexy bastard, and I love you, man.
Thank you very much. I don't disagree. What's going on in life? What's happening?
It's funny.
Thank you.
It's so funny. This other guy you're with, he says he's from Idaho, right?
Yes, he is. Yeah. He's not claiming that he is. Yeah, I know him. He's not lying. Like, yeah. It's not like, oh, this fucker alleging he's really from Idaho.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of all the places to lie about being from, it's this shithole. But anyway, I'm from Boise.
Oh.
Boise, Idaho.
Okay.
Not familiar. Yeah.
Yes,
but it's actually so funny that you guys are doing the advice thing. I'm 27 years old, and, you know, I was trying to, I went to college in LA, lived there for a little bit, pursued the film industry, got a screenwriting degree in film school and everything. And I really just wanted to get into like comedy writing, sitcom writing, sketch comedy, kind of anything. But then COVID happened. And on top of that, you know, my dad got sick. So I decided to move back to Idaho. I've been here for 3 years now. I'm just at a spot in life where trying to work out here affiliated with comedy or any of that realm of entertainment. and I'm just at a point where I want to like go out and take a big risk. You know, sure. Moving back to LA is an option, but it's just really expensive to do that. And I know there's a lot of like kind of growing comedy scenes throughout the country. And I was just seeing if you guys have any like practical advice for someone in my situation.
Well, Ryan, you claim to be from Idaho. I say with air quotes. Yeah. What was your deciding factor in going, I am leaving? By the way, I'm not going to say what the bit is. Your bit about how arrogant New Yorkers are, about if you can make it here, you can make... It's such a great...
Oh,
you're
thanks.
Such a good writer.
Thanks, man.
What was your deciding factor when you're like, I'm getting out of here and I'm going to go somewhere else?
Well, I moved here from Salt Lake City, Utah. I just needed to get somewhere where I could get on stage every night. That's kind of what I decided.
Right.
Like, I needed to be, like, if I was really going to do this full time, I needed access to more stage time. And I didn't know if it was going to be LA. I thought it would be LA, but then I had a TV opportunity here in New York, and I met some people. Actually, Amy Schumer convinced me to move here.
Oh, really?
We
okay.
both did our first TV spot together, and she was like, you should move here, and I started to consider it.
What was the TV spot?
Live at Gotham. It was both our first TV.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd never heard of her. I was first on the show. I got off stage, and she walked right up to me. I'd never met her. She goes, I'm Amy, and you got to move here.
Who's the host?
Andy Kindler.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Andy's funny.
Yeah. It was my first time in New York ever. First time on stage. Anyway, but cool. I think things have changed a lot is what I would say to you. Like, there's a lot of opportunity wherever you are now. I don't know. Are you talking about stand-up specifically? It sounds like you were into writing and acting and stuff too. Or what exactly are you wanting to do when you say take a big risk?
You know, I mean, it's funny you mentioned that. Like, one of the... I tried stand-up a couple times, and I just bombed miserably. Jim would have thought it was hilarious, but everyone else didn't. It was a disaster.
I do love a good a good dream crush.
Oh, I know you do. I wish they had the car crash sound effect from O&A, because it would have been perfect, just dead silence.
We can get that. We'll have that for next week.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of it, the biggest thing holding me back are just finances, you know, just getting up and moving. You know, I have a pretty good degree in the realm of media and entertainment, but just out here in Boise, it's not applicable. I've been working landscaping for the past 3 years, making things work. But the only reason I came out here was because of my dad, but you know, he's passed since. I'm ready to kind of move on and try to get my career back on track.
One of my options is kind of just doing it on my own, just like maybe getting some podcast equipment and just kind of doing little weird video segment ideas. I kind of have like a concept about a talk show with, you know, because podcasts are so oversaturated now, I kind of want to have like a talk show spin on it, and it's just chaotic nonsense. Something I really am interested in doing. But other than that, if I could find work in that field of stand-up comedy or podcasting assistance, any kind of stuff like that, do you think I should move cities and look through that, or, you know, try to do online, which I've been doing for the past year? I apply to so many jobs nearly every day and just nothing happens.
I mean, it's hard to get a podcast assistant job, but that's a difficult thing to do. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, as much as it seems like we're living the life of Riley here, we're in my kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I know it sounds like, well, the audio, it sounds like we're really fucking flying high, highfalutin. Were these guys on a private plane? I'm talking to them. No, we're just in my living room. I don't know what to say. I would say that wherever the podcasts are, if you're going to be there, but maybe do your own thing. Maybe start with your own thing, and then people, if you have an own thing and it catches on a little bit, then people will see it and go, "Oh, okay, we'd love to have this guy." Because if you're just randomly contacting people, like, what would make them want to work with you? They don't know you.
Yeah, and even if it's
sorry, what would make
they might not want to work with
go
you?
Ahead,
no. Say if you have something that's going on. Then maybe you reach out to people, and they'll be more inclined to want to work with you because they'll see what you're doing. Right now, it's hard to show people what you can bring to the table because you don't have anything going on. And Ryan was going to say something, but then you very, very angrily and aggressively jumped in and trampled this poor man. What were you going to say, Ryan?
I was just going to say, like, I think, you know, if you have, like, even if it doesn't really catch on or whatever, maybe it will, but try something. And if you want to be in production side of things, or even if you want to be like the face of the thing, you can do that in Boise and put together a portfolio of work. Think of it that way. And if it's online, perhaps, but, you know, then you have something and you can send it to people and go, "This is what I've done so far. What do you think of this?" Maybe someone will seek you out. I mean, I get sometimes people message me and they go, "Take a look at what I've done. Do you want to work with me?"
Right. You know? You have something to send them as opposed to, "Hi, I'm Jason. I'm in Idaho. I'm not too sure what to do." Like, you want to show them something because, again, they're getting messaged by a lot of people. That's a good idea.
And you can do that from anywhere. You can do that right there. I mean, It's different now. I think there's a lot of opportunity wherever you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason.
Awesome. Thank you.
Goodbye. We cut you off mid as you were about to rave. Thank you, guys. You've changed my. And then we just cut you off. Apologize. Should we go to one more? As we're getting, I know Ryan has shows tonight.
Oh, I'm good.
Who's the next caller?
Jason is on.
Oh, that wasn't Jason.
Hey,
I was talking
what's going
to.
On?
Oh, this is Jason.
Oh, who was I just talking to?
That was JP.
JP, I want to send my humble apologies to you if you're listening to this, Jason. My apology. I mean, if I've ever been more embarrassed, I can't remember when. What's up, Jason?
Hey, how are you guys?
Thank you, buddy. We're doing good. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Ryan, you got him, right?
Yeah.
I'm good, man. All right, so I'll be real brief because the wife's making dinner. Just want to say you're fucking awesome.
Thank you.
I met you at the Gathering of Juggalos probably... Oh. Shit, 6-7 years ago,
yep.
And got to interview you, and you were like super cool. I'm just curious, did you watch any good movies or anything this year? Because like, there was some terrible fucking movies this year.
By the way, I do love the Gathering of the Juggalos. You know, it's not an easy set for the Insane Clown Posse,
oh.
But those guys, I had done their TV show, so their fans were actually really nice
wow.
to me. And they're great guys. Like, yeah. They're really fucking nice, funny dudes.
Uh-huh.
So, I had a great time there. Good movies this year. I've seen an abysmal one. What did you see that you liked? Did you see anything you liked this year?
This year was tough, right?
Honestly, I just seen the Gladiator 2 movie recently, and then I seen that new Joker film.
Oh, that was bad.
So, yeah.
That was bad. The Joker film was not great.
Gladiator. Yeah, Joker was terrible.
Yeah. I did see a movie on Netflix with Jason Bateman, who's a good actor, but I think he was miscast in this. It was called Carry On. It's about a TSA.
I want to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a TSA agent who, like, they're talking to him through this headset and they're blackmailing him to kill his girlfriend if he doesn't allow this package through. Great concept, but you ever watch a movie and there's just so many easy ways to stop what's happening and they don't do it and you're like, kind of lose interest.
Yeah.
You're like, this stinks.
Yeah, yeah.
You should work within the boundaries of what we know is real.
Right, yeah.
Then it's interesting.
Yes, exactly. I agree.
So I would say that. Do not watch. I would say this. I should torture you too. Go forget what I just said. Carry On's a great film. Get your girl and four of your friends over and only make sure it's a Friday night. Yeah. Cancel other plans and then sit down to watch Carry On with Jason Bateman.
You know what I enjoyed? Have you seen Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice?
I've never seen the original.
Oh, you've never seen the original?
This is a sequel?
It's a sequel. Yeah, that was good. I thought it was great.
Okay.
Pretty dark and funny.
Is it Michael Keaton?
Yeah, I love Michael Keaton.
I do too. He was a stand-up at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did stand-up early on. Yeah, he was great.
And I want to say I saw him, like, but it might have been in one of those, like, hosting a young comedian special.
Really?
I hosted Live at Gotham one time too, and Colin Jost was on my show.
Wow.
And he goes on to marry Scarlett Johansson. Nice to see that we've just kind of kept similar paths.
Yeah.
He has Saturday Night
Maybe
Live.
Maybe someday he'll host Live at Gotham. You never know.
That's a great point. Maybe someday he'll be sitting here and I'll be sitting where you are. And then me and Scojo will take off for dinner. Yes. All right. Thank you for the call, buddy. Jordan, you're on the on Jim Norton Can't Save You with Jim Norton and pal Ryan Hamilton.
What's up, Jim?
Welcome aboard. Thank you.
Hey, just want to say that I'm going to be here and support you for anything that you do.
Thank you.
And hopefully, you know, it's going to be good and all that. But you and Ant planning on doing anything? Because that would be a gold mine.
I love Anthony so much. I want to actually drive down to South Carolina with Nikki and see him, but she's in LA for something. So I'm probably going to go see Anthony within the next month or two. It's hard to do something steady when someone lives in another state. But I want to just go and see Anthony. But if he lived in New York, that'd be a lot easier decision to make. But now he's running around fucking waiting.
He's the most, sorry.
No, go ahead, buddy.
He's, the funniest non-comic I've ever met. I saw him one time, but he's the funniest non-comic person ever.
And he's actually funnier than a lot of comics. You know, Patrice said about Anthony one time, and thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. We're kind of doing a speed round now just because we're wrapping up. But Patrice said that Anthony could access funny faster than any person he'd ever met.
Wow.
Where meaning when we're just in a conversation, Anthony could sit there. And the example I've always used is, he could talk about installing air conditioning work or fixing an engine. And it's captivating. Like, there's a real gift to that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not good. I tried to talk on an earlier episode about why Sirius and I have parted ways. And I'm fumbling through it. Like, I just stink. And he's just got such a gift for that. So
interesting.
Yeah,
you're very fast. You're one of the fastest comedians I know. When there's a line.
Thank you. That's just when I fuck.
See? There it is.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yes. Yes, Brendan, you're on the show with Ryan and myself.
Hey guys, how are?
We're good. How you doing, pal?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We got you.
Hey man, I don't know if you remember. I'm the one who called the other day. I was the cop in Florida with that disaster of a relationship.
I do remember you, Brendan, because we had another Brendan on another episode, and I thought of you, but it wasn't you. What's up, buddy?
Yeah. So there's some other breaking news with that.
Okay.
Long story short, I was golfing in Orlando, and I stopped at Disney just to hang out with some friends I haven't seen.
Wait, let me jump in.
She got married.
Wait, oh, jump in real quick. This was the girl. Can you give us a quick refresher? Because Ryan is looking at me angrily, like, "What the fuck is this guy talking about?" And I'm like, "I don't know, Ryan." Yeah, because I remember you. But could you refresh the crowd, Brandon? Go.
Yeah. All right. So, long story short, I was seeing this girl and some things transpired. She moved out west for her job. She ended up getting knocked up, having a kid.
And didn't remember the guy's name, right? She said she didn't know who it was?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't tell me about 4 months, 5 months into it. So we kind of parted ways there. She had the kid, and she kind of reached out and moved to Florida where I am. And I kind of said, yeah, we'll talk and see what things happen, kind of play it out slowly. Things were positive for a little bit, kind of on thin ice. And then basically everyone in my family hated that decision, hated me for it, yada, yada, yada. So fast forward to now, I was in Orlando golfing, and I stopped at Disney to see some friends who I haven't seen in a few years. And lo and behold, I see her and her now husband.
Brandon, can I say this? You and we're wrapping up. I'm going to say this. Thank you so much for the update. But I will say, good for you. Got so fucking lucky. You got so, that woman is a train wreck. And I know you're attached to her. Good fucking riddance. She did you a favor by marrying some other poor sap who is now going to be stuck with her pathological dishonesty.
And I actually went up to her and him. I said, thank you for making this easy, because you just made
wow.
Oh, that's
and I said, good luck, sir.
Yeah, good for
wow.
you. So now, there you go. There's your bow. There's your fucking button, as we say in the biz. There's your button on this episode. Good for you.
Wow, what a moment to run into them.
Isn't that great? Yeah, because she was lying. She didn't know who the kid's father was. It was a bunch of malarkey. It's probably the guy she married, if you want my excuse. Guy who thinks he's being like really ironic, but he isn't.
Now, were you at Disneyland alone?
I've never been. That is creepy. Yeah, what were you doing? Walking around with a fucking Mickey Mouse balloon and a heart on? Creep.
I didn't even go into the park. I was visiting one of my friends who works there.
Oh.
And he works out basically in the security. And I just, hey, I said, hey, you work? And they come by and say, hi. I haven't seen him in about 3 years. Oh. And I just happened to see him. And then, I mean, she walked about 4 feet in front of me.
Oh, wow. That was the universe.
Yeah.
Just out of sheer coincidence.
Wow.
Well, Brendan, call back again and let us know what's going on in life. We're going to wrap up because we have one more caller to go. And then Ryan has shows tonight. Thank you so much, man. And thanks for the update. It's very appreciated.
See you then, man.
All right. Be good, buddy. Boy, I was trying to give him a nice wrap up. He's like, all right, got it. Just fucking hustled me off the phone, my own show.
Hey, how's it going, Jimmy?
Hey, how are you? What's your name?
My name's Kiefer.
Hey, Kiefer, you're talking to me and to the great Ryan Hamilton. Welcome aboard, Kiefer. Don't jump in on the Kiefer Sutherland joke, Ryan. I've got a really good
okay,
one.
Okay, I'll hold.
Go ahead. I'm gonna hit you with one. What do you got? What's up?
You know.
So what are you, Kiefer Sutherland or something?
I hate Chip.
That was Jim as Chip. Yeah, you're right. What's up, buddy?
Oh, Jesus. You know, when I was a kid, my dad used to take me to school, and he would always play Opie and Anthony in the car, so I kind of got an early sense of, you know, your humor and those guys' humor.
Yeah.
Growing up. But, you know, I'm here now. I'm a student at Boise State University. And I'm starting to see a lot of change in humor. You know, like there's a lot of things you can't say and there's a lot of things you can.
Sure.
And I kind of just wanted to hear your take on it. I know this is kind of a call to ask for advice, but I want to know what you had to say about humor now and how it's changed. And, you know, do you think it's changed positively or negatively?
I mean, and I'll ask Ryan the same thing. Ryan and I are different comics. Like Ryan is one of those guys like, and I'll talk about you for a second, like Tom Papa were that, and Gaffigan, who are clean guys, but who kill like guys who are dirty. Like you three are guys right. who are like squeaky clean, who fucking murder the same as a filthy guy. It's crazy. Like, you know, to kill that hard and be that clean is difficult. Has this affected you at all? Like, or is there any type of, because for me, I've definitely seen a difference, but because your act is not geared that way, have you seen any difference in what you can talk about, or has it remained the same for you?
Like with the sensitivity of audiences?
Yes.
No, I don't think I've noticed. I mean, here and there, little things, but mostly no. But I am working for my specific audience. You know,
right.
they're coming to see me. So,
right.
like, if I'm in front of an audience that doesn't know me, I might notice more of it. But no, I haven't noticed that much.
No, Ryan's issues come off the stage. Like he finds yeah. a vulnerable person in the audience, and he takes off his belt and he whips them across the forehead and face.
If they're not laughing,
yeah, if they're not laughing, exactly. I couldn't do that; my arm would fall off. Be too many on Tuesday night. I'll say this: I've noticed it, but the biggest difference between now and years ago, there's always been things you get in trouble for, blah blah. Is comedians trying to get each other in trouble? That's the main difference. The public has always been shitty, but to watch clout-chasing comedians try to make fake virtue as a part of their climb up the ladder, I would say is the biggest change. And they are as dishonest okay. as the people who are pretending to be upset on the outside. But that's the biggest change for me, is watching comics pretend to not understand the comedic process And pretend to go, use your platform responsibly. Shut up. So, no, but you can make fun of anything. Yeah. I think you can make fun of anything. And thanks for being a supporter, man. I appreciate it very much.
Agree.
Please keep enjoying this podcast, or start enjoying it finally. I say keep enjoying. That was very arrogant of me. Thanks for the call, buddy. We got to wrap up now because Ryan has shows. Thank you, pal.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And, dude, I love you. I have so much respect for you. I think you're so good at what you do. People go see what's your website, RyanHamilton.com?
RyanHamiltonLive.com.
I'm glad I asked, because I would have sent you to some other Ryan Hamilton, would have been getting all the fruits of your labor, would have been going to that person.
Right.
And you got gigs coming up where? In, you got your Seinfeld gig. Oh, you're working with Seinfeld and Gaffigan?
Yeah, I'm doing one of those in a couple weeks together. That'll be pretty cool.
Looks like two, Omaha and Kansas City?
Yep.
And you're also opening for Jerry in Beaver Creek and in Aspen?
Yes.
And those are fun gigs, aren't they?
I got Alabama coming up, Huntsville, Alabama. That's my first time there, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, Levity, right. Are you doing your own shows there?
Yeah, my own shows.
It's funny, I'm trying to sell tickets for Seinfeld. I really am stupid. Ryan is promoting his gigs, and I'm like, if you want to see Jerry... Ryan is really funny. He'll do a lot more time by himself than he will with Jerry too. How are those? Have you flown on the private plane with him?
Yeah, it's great.
How bad was turbulence?
Not bad. Thanks. I don't know.
That's what an uninteresting host I am. You're working with the biggest comic of all time, flying on his plane. I'm like, was it cloudy? What was the wind like? Was it bumpy? He's a fun guy to tour with, though, isn't he?
Oh, he's so fun. We have a great time.
Great hotels.
So, oh, yeah. Nice. I mean, it's not like super. It's whatever. He's just having a good time. We have a whole routine. It's great.
Nice restaurants. You're probably eating good food. Yeah, it's great. Working with a guy who's made it.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed touring with Dice. Best hotels, best everything, and then no pressure on the draw.
Right. Yes, I know. There's so much fun. It's just relaxing time.
But if you want to see Ryan by himself, Red Bank, New Jersey. Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Love to have you come back on the show before that if you want to.
Yeah.
Burlington, Vermont. Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And
I got West Palm Beach coming up and Kohler, Wisconsin, which is a weird spot, but it should be a good show.
Sure. They make a lot of toilets there. Is that where the toilets are from?
It's the toilet people.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I should go there. I'll find my career. And Ryan Hamilton Live. .com. Such a funny stand-up, dude. I'll be in Los Angeles, Washington, D.C. Just go to jimnorton.com. And remember, we need to sign off with something powerful. What's a powerful sign-off? I still don't have one. Perfect.
Here's advice. Our lives, your advice. Our lives, your decisions. I don't know.
That's it.
We got something.
Ryan said it. Our lives, your decision. Yep. That's it.
That's it.
Thanks a lot.
See you next week, Jim.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over, it's time to go. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee.
But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.